When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Here we go, episode 17 of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. 17 episodes in, it's pretty amazing. I'm Mike Jacobson, WGN Radio. He is Scott King from the publication known as The Red Eye. We talk about Hawks, and we talk about it each and every week with you. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. I am on Twitter, at Jacobson Radio. He is on Twitter, at Scott King Media. And he's to my right, and he hasn't said a word yet. So hello, sir.
Hello, Mike. 17 already, huh?
Yeah. You know, it's a big number. We're getting up there, my friend.
Is there something to look forward to when we get to 20? Is there? Do we get a cake, a WGN Blackhawks cake
when we get
served
to
us?
When we get to the 21st.
At least, right?
If we get to the 21st episode, we'll go have a drink.
Okay.
It's kind of like your 21st birthday.
All right.
It's like, I always love that, too. And you'd be at your like aunt and uncle's house, and you just turned 21, like, oh, I'll have a beer.
We'll get a drink.
So it's my first one.
And then we'll go to Forever 21.
I do need a new outfit. Spring will be here very shortly.
We need podcast outfits.
See, one place that we are not today is the White House. I guess we didn't get the invite. I don't know.
I didn't check my junk mail, my spam completely.
You know, I always forget to check my spam. That's, and the Blackhawks PR.
If it's in there, I'm really going to be upset.
Blackhawks PR, sometimes it bounces into there, but apparently our invitations got lost in the mail.
Okay.
But
not the first time.
For the third time in 6 years, this is what you get to do as a Stanley Cup champion. The Blackhawks go visit Barack this morning. And I got to say, Barack was – I was impressed. Now, take that with a grain of salt because he has writers and all of that.
First of all, bravo to you. A lot of people, even people in the media, are like, oh, my God, can you believe he's so funny? How does he have time to crack those jokes? He's a president. Oh, my gosh. Well, he has writers. And the writers are very good, obviously. There's great references. There's a lot of humor.
Where I give the president credit, though, is that he is – somewhat of a sports fan. Remember, he is a sports fan.
You really think he knows the whole lineup? And I don't think he knows much about the Blackhawks.
He did say Timonen's name correct today, which was impressive.
Do you think they had like a little meeting like before you go on tonight's show?
Oh, they phonetically spell the crap out of everything.
I'll give him credit. I think he could shout off some Sox players. I think he's a bigger Sox fan than a Hawks fan. But it looks like a very nice outing today.
That was his one mistake, though, he's ever made. Giving us like talking about sports, he said Kaminsky Field or something like that.
I take back what I just said.
but most politicians absolutely butcher any sort of athletic talk and or sports talk.
Right.
And he does relatively know what he's doing. He goes to a lot of Bulls games, and one of the gifts that the Blackhawks gave him today, he was very, very impressed.
This is the best gift I've ever gotten at the White House. This is really cool. You'd pay for this, wouldn't you? Absolutely. Quigley?
See, here's what I want to know about the whole thing. So it's a lifetime parking pass at the United Center, but that doesn't include ticket admission, too. You just get a parking pass. You get to park at the United Center for the rest of your life. You still got to buy a ticket, right, if you're Barack?
I don't know.
10 years from now?
Did he say he's going to sell that on eBay? I think he cracked a joke.
Actually, he did.
And he shot from the hip there, so that wasn't...
I think that was definitely from the hip.
He was fed that, so not a bad line.
But here's the thing. When you're the Blackhawks and you've been to the, you know, three out of the past 6 years to the White House, it's like you kind of run out of gift ideas. Like, all right, here's the jersey.
Well, also just like, not only as like the whoever comes up with that is represented for their team and what to get him, but like just the players. Like, I don't know what you – think about how much you would be – thinking about what you have to say to the president the first time you meet him, like, what do I bring up?
No.
Oh, I like this policy, or not a big fan. I don't think anyone would say that to the president.
No, everybody's just, but, you just, but you like, look him in the eye, you say it's very nice to meet you, sir.
You probably, like, for weeks are thinking about what you're going to say to the president, so come the third time, like, do you even have anything left to say? Like, how about, you know, it's raining?
Are you kidding me? Like, I mean, if you're some of the guys that have been there, you know, for all three of them, I mean, we're talking, you know, Jonathan Toews, Seabrook, Kane,
yeah, what do you think those
Jelmerson
guys say? First name basis, probably not with the president.
Barry!
What do those guys say?
What up, Barry? How you doing,
they
man?
They get a what up, Barry. Might as well call him bro,
give him a fist bump. Give him a bro hug. How's Michelle doing?
Tap some elbows.
How's Michelle doing?
You get that cable fixed or what?
What? No, you went DirecTV?
You were always a Comcast guy. I thought you loved the on-demand. No,
they'll play bags.
And then it gets to a point now where it's like Tave shows up and these guys that have been there three out of the past 6 years say, hey, oh, really? Bud Light? You know I drink Miller Lite. Like, what are you doing? And I swear I saw something on Twitter where, and it's early because this, the press conference. And we
started at 10, I believe.
And we carried it live here on WGN Radio. I thought I saw a picture. It would have been around 9:30, 10 Eastern time of Q. It looked like a beverage in his hand. And I'm just saying.
I'm not co-signing on this. I didn't see this.
I'm not either. So I thought I saw that. But in all seriousness, it was. I thought it was a really good presentation today. I listened to the whole thing here at work at the beautiful WGN studios where we broadcasting live right now from the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower here on the Mag Mile. And I thought he slipped in a few cool stories with Tiemannin and the struggles he went through with the blood clots, and he finally got to, you know, end his career on a high note. And then he talked about something that we talked about last week, the story about Scott Darling and providing that hotel room for over a month to that homeless person. And think about if you're Scott Darling. You're the backup goalie to the best goalie in the league, which he has said a couple of times now.
Right.
The journey that he has gone through, the ups and downs, both off the ice and playing in 21 different leagues, and then you're standing up there and you've got the president of the United States talking about you.
Yeah, and he's not just saying his name. He's saying,
I mean, and CSN, I was watching the video feed too, had a shot of him when he was talking about him.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he held it together.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it was quite impressive the way he was able to just not break down. I mean, you're Scott Darling. You were playing for the Louisiana White Frogs or whatever the heck they were called. I mean, he's been in so many leagues and battled depression and alcoholism, and then he does this great deed that wasn't supposed to get out. It ends up getting out because of an Uber driver, and there you go.
Yeah.
And now he's getting talked about by the president. Not a bad day.
No, I didn't just say his name like he was someone in the lineup or anything. He said it was a very American thing to do, was the exact quote, and it was representative of Chicago, what Darling did with that, what we talked about for that homeless guy. So you have the president, again, not just saying your name, but talking about an act of kindness, something you actually did, kind of using you as an example. I'm sure he's very proud of that. And these things are always nice, too, because when you see the guys who – sometimes when they got traded, if they're able to travel, they go to the White House. In Kimo's case, he retired and he was able to go. So I'm sure it was a big deal to him. And like you said, he was mentioned. So a nice day for him as well.
What do you think the spread is at a White House? The food's got to be fantastic.
I think you get some of those nice cheeses like you see at Costco.
You don't think they walk around with the silver trays with like meatballs, right? Like meatballs and a
Swedish
toothpick?
For Yarmulsen?
Yeah. You never know.
Yeah.
Jammer, that's his third visit. You know,
he's
could
at
start
least
making
entitled
requests.
They can at least get him some Swedish meatballs at the White House.
And you would think that there's got to be just a full-on spread after appetizers, though. Like, after they do the presser and they walk around, they do the tour, there's got to be a huge launch, you would think.
Yeah. At what point do you think they kick you out of the White House, whatever room you're in, the party room, whatever they use, that you're just eating beef sandwiches and drinking beers. By the time you say, okay, the president has this meeting and in the other room, you guys got
to
go.
You could tell President Obama kind of wanted to get out of there even just after the press conference today. It's like, okay, let's get the gifts going here and let's wrap this up.
Right.
Kind of have to run the free world here. So. Right. But it was definitely a cool day, so I was glad I was able to listen to it and watch it this morning.
I'm just disappointed Biden didn't talk.
I think we all are. I think we all are. We all died a little bit inside because of that. That would have been good.
3 cups in 6 years. That's a big effing deal.
Joe Biden. That's another day and another podcast. It is
He's our guest next week. We'll
that's right. Yeah, I got him booked. Got him booked for the podcast. This is the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here on WGNRadio.com. I am Mike Jacobson, WGN Radio. He is Scott King from the publication known as The Red Eye. We're going to get into what happened last night. A big win for the Blackhawks on the road. Against the Rangers, and we also want to talk about some roster moves, potential trades. Trade deadline coming up is February 29th. It is a leap year this year. That's not wrong. February 29th is the trade deadline at the end of the month, so maybe some guys getting moved. We've got Hossa, who's on injured reserve with that lower body injury, the dreaded lower body. Thought he had to maybe be out just a week. but then came out that he's probably going to be out a couple of weeks. Because when you get put on IR, you have to be out at least 7 days.
Right.
Then Q came out actually on our station first before he met the media and said it'll probably be a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Talk about that and the stadium series. That is coming to
Sunday.
Should
be good.
Up in Minnesota there. We're going to talk about that as well, do a preview of that, and the alumni game, which will be a lot of fun. Now, that's going to be on Saturday. So, but let's start with last night. Big win. The bread man just keeps on doing it. I mean, he keeps getting hungry and hungrier, pun intended. Hat trick last night, his first career hat trick. 20 goals on the season.
He hit his 20. I think it was his first goal, right? I think doesn't he have 22 now?
I think he says now he has 22. That's correct.
57 points. He's fifth in scoring in the league, a rookie. I mean, maybe if he didn't set up Kane so much, maybe he'd be the MVP. Just incredible what he's doing. It was a big game for the Kane clones in general, too. Not only the hat trick with Panarin, the Russian Kane clone, but also the Finnish one in Teravainen. He had 2 points last night.
Yeah, a couple of assists, and they were like uncanny.
The third line looked great.
Uncanny,
really
assist.
Good.
So I thought that was best way to describe it. Just uncanny assist from him.
Their power play is on fire too now. 7 goals in 2 games. The Hawks
3 of 4 last night.
Panarin had 2 of them.
So the win gives them, you know, they're back on top of the Stars again right now.
1 point
in
ahead.
The standings. Yeah, I think it's
81-80.
81-80, correct. So ends up being a pretty big win. And Lundqvist, I don't think, played bad. I don't think Crawford was spectacular, but he didn't.
He was good. He was definitely good enough.
Yeah.
He was good.
I mean, that's all you can ask for. It was one of those games where it wasn't that aesthetically pleasing, I would think, overall. But it was a grindy. Ooh, grinder. Ooh,
yeah.
That's such a Q word. Ooh, grinder.
And
grinder,
you see your grinder line, the third line, with some really good chances and getting on the board. I counted 3, like, A-plus scoring chances in the first period alone for that third line. Teravainen and Desjardins are having some great chemistry again.
And you just mentioned chances. So Vinny Hinostroza gets his chance. And he actually had a really nice check in the
second
first
game,
period.
I think. Right?
Yeah, but he gets another chance up here, and after getting, he gets recalled after Hossa was put on IR and takes a 4-minute high sticking penalty yesterday that resulted into 2 goals.
You got to keep your stick down, but you know you do see that happen to Kane and Taves. I mean, sometimes you're skating or you're trying to make a play and your stick comes up and whacks a guy, but draws a little blood. It's very unfortunate.
And Twitter was going nuts after that.
You start a period serving that majority of the penalty too in the second period. So yeah, it was tough, but I think he's a guy with some skill, so you'll still see him up. And if he goes down soon, I don't think it's just because of this penalty. I think he'll be back. I know he has a lot of upside and they like him.
Well, Twitter was, a lot of people were saying, I hope he didn't unpack his bags completely here.
I don't think he would go down again for that.
Might as well. Is that lease still up? I hope that lease isn't up in Rockford.
People are cruel on social media.
I would hate to live in Rockford. We've mentioned this before. Rockford is just not a very fun town.
No. But how about the penalty that did go their way? With you finally see Q get the better of a challenge.
Yes.
I think the mustache smiled, I believe. I saw it on my television.
Yeah, 3 times the charm. We finally get ourselves a goalie interference that goes in favor of the Blackhawks. And this one was pretty obvious, and I'll actually let WGN Radio's Troy Murray and John Weideman explain it here.
Creeps to the left corner, put it to the right, top of the right circle. Girardi fires, he scores.
Well, keep an eye here. Corey Crawford is livid right now. They're going to look at probably an opportunity here for Joel Quenneville to do a coach's challenge here. Corey Crawford is raising his stick. The two officials on a iPad along
Cotto
with
is challenging.
Yeah, they're challenging the
that
call.
There was goaltender interference prior to the scoring of the goal. After reviewing the play, the call on the ice is overturned. It's no goal. Chicago, don't forget, keep their timeout.
So we saw that in anybody who has eyes that work. And I'm not saying now you could have glasses, you could have contacts. I'm not saying anything like that. But as long as you're not Stevie Wonder, like, there's no way that you could have called that any other way. So the goalie interference, it gets overturned, and it ended up being a pretty big call in the game.
Yeah, Kreider, his skate definitely bumped Crawford. I think it was his right pad. Definitely moved
wasn't
him.
Even close.
Kind of jerked him to the side, way out of the play. So great move by Quenneville challenging that. Can you imagine what would have happened if it didn't get overturned? Because it was so obvious, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
I think we would have seen some crazy cue.
And one more thing before we move on here, just an absolutely dirty play on on Panarin when he got his hat trick there. Who was it?
Yandel.
It was Yandel, yes. Right? It was Keith Yandel, yes. Right? Okay, that's who I thought it was.
Former Coyote.
Yeah. I mean, just what are you doing? For those of you who didn't see it, he blatantly tripped him. I mean,
It was like a trip and a shove.
It was like, yeah.
Into the boards, too.
Into the boards.
You got a rookie, you're going to do that to – I know he's a little older. He's 24 for a rookie. But you're going to do that to a guy just because he gets a hat trick? How about you guys how about you play better so you don't give guys hat tricks?
Because he hustled to get that empty netter, and he was going – he had his full momentum going towards the net slash boards. And he clearly was tripping.
Yandel's been in the league for a while, too. That was a bum move. That pissed me off.
That's frustration, and I get it, but you can't endanger somebody because of that.
You don't know if his skate catches the wrong way on the boards and, cracks an ankle or has some kind of terrible lower body injury. That could have happened. And at the end of the game, just because a guy scores an empty net, that's a bum move, in my opinion.
And before we get to Hossa and the roster moves, just kind of sticking on this endangerment level, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
Big ruling yesterday by Gary Bettman, of course, the commissioner of the NHL, and the Weidman suspension, 20-game suspension. Weidman, the defenseman who cross-checked the poor official slash linesman in the back, his 20-game suspension was upheld. So he appealed it, and a lot of people thought that he might win that appeal, but Gary Bettman used common sense and said, no, this was egregious, and you're going to at least serve this 20-game suspension in its entirety.
Yeah, it was not an official. You have to come down hard. He dropped the hammer, and he should have, but Weidman can still, and some people are reporting that he's going to appeal to an independent arbitrator.
Yeah.
And which has actually never happened before with this collective bargaining agreement since the last lockout.
Yeah, first time.
And I think, Mike, the reason that maybe this, there wasn't any kind of change to the sentencing is Bettman actually went through or had someone go through text messages between Weidman and a teammate. And the quote I have here is Weidman saying to a teammate about this ordeal, is that the only problem and the only reason I'm here is because of stupid refs and the stupid media. So that doesn't sound like a guy who was, in my opinion, it doesn't sound like a guy who was concussed and didn't know what he was doing. That sounds like a guy who was pissed off then and he's pissed off now because he got caught. But there's kind of a dangerous precedent here, and I don't think I'm entirely against it. When there's an attack on a, whether it's an unsuspecting player, let alone an official, and that punishment should always be worse, I don't know if I'm completely against the league or Bettman going through personal information like text. If someone that referee was hurt and he was defenseless and he's an official. So some guys, I see some articles and I understand the argument that, now the NHL is going through text messages or probably in the future, maybe they'll go through emails. So I don't know.
That does bridge on a whole nother level in terms of,
like,
privacy
Freedom
issues and not like almost HIPAA like, but just a lot of that's medical records, but you know what I'm saying.
It's a
slippery slope.
It's a breach
slope.
Of privacy. It is a slippery slope, but like I said, when an innocent guy is being injured, I understand a thorough investigation. An innocent, unsuspecting player or official. So it's a weird thing. We'll see what happens when he appeals to the independent arbitrator.
Yeah, but for right now, it has been upheld at least by Gary Bettman in the NHL. So we'll see what this independent guy says. What is his name? I just had it up here. Whoever this independent guy is. Arbitrator. But I guess it really doesn't matter.
I think it's
end.
Johnny Arbitrator.
Johnny Arbitrator. Yeah, good guy. Good golfer. He's got like a 2 handicap or something like that. Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Mike Jacobson, Scott King here with you on WGNRadio.com. So Rod Scuderi gets placed on waivers, and he clears waivers.
He does, signed to Rockford yesterday on Wednesday.
You smell that?
No, should I?
It smells like a trade looming, perhaps.
I was hoping you lit a...
See, aren't you the guy that used to do improv and stuff? Come on, man. Do improv?
I wasn't a yes and improv guy. I did stand-up for almost a decade, Michael.
Well, sorry.
Please. It's much more selfish brand of comedy than improv.
Some props there, at least.
I didn't see that coming. I thought it was hilarious. I thought maybe you lit a Yankee candle in the corner, I was hoping.
I did not.
No, but yeah, definitely a trade. They're definitely going to get a top six guy. You have Bickle down, so you get some of his salaries freed up and some cap space. Now you have Scuderi now. down in Rockford and Kruger's on LTIR. Hossa being on just regular injured reserve, you don't get any relief. He should be back in like three games. But you have $3.9 million of cap space to play with. I think they're definitely going to get a top six guy. Guy that can play left wing, maybe even a center who can move to left wing.
I mean, it's pretty obvious that they are, to me, because he's even said or alluded to, Coach Q, that, yeah, I want a winger. You know, that's kind of what I'm looking for. They're looking someone to fill out that left winger role on the first
line.
Yeah,
Q was pretty candid about it. He said one or two guys.
And that's what they're looking for. And I think that's much more of a need, filling that left wing spot on that top line than a defenseman.
Yeah, definitely. He said that he likes their situation defensively.
That's just IMO. In my opinion, for the kids out
there. We should only talk in abbreviations from now on for the younger demographic. We'll put a lot of emojis on our social media pages.
You have a very young daughter. By the time she's five and can actually speak.
That's going to be our target
audience.
Well,
no, I shouldn't say speak at five. When do they start talking? Like two?
Is it
one or two?
Kids don't speak till they're five. Oh, my Lord.
So what is it, one or two?
I think one. She's trying to talk now at 6 months, but I think closer to one. Maybe in a couple months she might start. I think some do
before the year. Everything's going to be OMG, LOL. There's going to be no actual complete sentences.
By the time
she's 13, who knows, man?
Kids probably won't talk till they're five soon. They'll just be doing like touchscreen stuff to show you.
Yeah, either that or they'll be. And then by the time she's five, she'll be sending you text messages. You know, at the dinner table saying, I don't want to eat my vegetables and not even actually communicate with you.
Yes, they're all emojis on her text.
I hate emojis. I'm glad you brought up emojis.
Me either.
I don't know what half of them mean.
No, I do know that bread only means Panera, and that's all bread is used for now. And I haven't used it yet either.
And you've used it with me in some of your texts, the fist pound thing. I just figured out what that was. Like
that's just me saying good job, thank you.
Well, a lot of people have sent me that, and I'm like, what does that mean? Do you want to punch me in the face? What, I don't understand what's going on. Like,
I hope no listeners text me or email me a fist then. That will mean they don't like the show.
Because I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't know. But the Hossa injury, getting it back on track here.
I think other people do.
Getting back on track here. Getting the old train back on
Steer
the old.
Steer the ship correctly.
Getting the train on the old railroad here. As I look at my phone, I'm getting very distracted. There's just so many things going on today.
You're going to get a lot of emojis.
I'm sorry. There's huge news. You know, Kirk Heinrich getting traded for a second-round pick just grabs my attention sometimes. So the Hossa injury, Hampus Lindholm, it was a hip check on him in the Anaheim game. When I first saw the hit, I thought, maybe a little dirty. And then I rewatched it three or four times. I think it ended up being just a clean hit. It was just an unfortunate injury.
Yeah, I did the same thing where that's what I thought right away, and I watched it a few times. It was Saturday in the second period of the game versus Ducks. Hampus Lindholm's a defenseman, and
pretty good one too.
Yeah, he is. You've heard his name quite a bit this season. Last
young guy
season,
too.
But the problem with that is you can. I'm okay with either argument. It's a dirty hit. It's not. Because it's within the rules, and it didn't look like he was trying to hurt Hossa or put a dirty hit on him. But that's a dangerous one. That could always be a dangerous one. Again, that does result in a lot of lower body injuries, albeit not serious lower body injuries. But, you know, you're taking a guy's legs out, essentially, with your hip.
Mm-hmm.
So if that guy is coming in towards you with some speed, that could be kind of serious. So, yeah, I don't like those. Maybe in a couple of years you'll see the league do something about those kind of hits.
In a weird way, could this be a good thing for Hossa? Now, we've noticed this year that he's just not getting the puck in the net.
Yeah.
I mean, he always is. He's always doing his back checking. I mean, he's always going to be a two-way player.
He's always dangerous, right?
But in a weird way, maybe it refreshes him? I don't know. I kind of thought about that.
Honestly, he needs
something. I mean, he has not had the offensive productivity that you would like.
No, for sure. And I don't know exactly what his injury was, but since it happened on Saturday,
I've heard lower leg, but they always say lower.
See,
body,
I don't know,
leg, hip, whatever. Yeah, it's lower body
sprain or
lower body,
maybe a sprain or something.
I don't know. Maybe 2 weeks.
But yeah, it was from Saturday. It was 2 weeks and about five games, so only like three more games is he supposed to miss. Maybe they give him a little extra because he's a veteran. But I think if it's not that serious, where he's only going to be out a couple games in a couple weeks, it probably is good for him. Just to get a little rest here, and maybe you see him come back. And what was a couple weeks ago? He scored a handful of goals, so
yeah,
he was still there.
He was on a little bit of a streak.
Yeah, a couple games. So yeah, maybe you come back and you see him well rested when he returns.
Another guy that's had a red hot stick. Speaking of red hot sticks, which sounds creepy, Brent Seabrook.
There's an emoji for that.
Brent Seabrook. Now he didn't have one last night, but
no, he's had some great shots from the point.
And kind of going back in the Wayback Machine here, now it feels like forever ago, but on Monday, how about that game against the Maple Leafs? Now, that's an awful team, but seeing seven different guys score, pretty cool.
That helped them get back on track and close out the homestand on a good note. Yeah, they had a four-game homestand. They lost the first three games.
Yeah, you lose your first three games, and then they did what they were supposed to do. They beat the crap out of
a bad
team.
Usually when you see them lose some games where they shouldn't or not score, I think they were shut out twice in that span.
Yeah.
You see them put up a lot. They always rebound and trounce a team.
And it was good, too, for Darling to be able to get in net there. And he looked pretty good.
Now, he had a good game.
He had a really good game. And those two goals shouldn't even have – it really should have been
7-0.
No, it should have been
7-0.
It should have been 7-0 as far as I'm concerned.
I agree. And those were later in the game. We talked about it on the show. He needed a good game, a solid game where he plays the whole game and he makes good saves. And he was great that game. He was big, challenging shooters. So he definitely has a winning record, I think, by a couple games. So he'll have some confidence now. And like you said, he had a great day today at the White House.
Him and Crawford have to be the best duo in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, who's challenging them?
Yeah.
By
reputation, overall, for sure. You don't have a lot of backup goalies that stole a series in the playoffs a year ago.
And I mean, overall, I think he's played well this year, Darling.
I agree. I'll agree with well. And I said before, he had those goals and losses, I think a lot of that was out of defense.
Well, it's tough, I mean, to be a backup when you're not seeing anything.
Right.
I mean, you're never out there, and it's hard to – it's not – being a goalie is totally different animal.
Right.
It's not like, you know, just – it's different.
It's not as hard as podcasting, but it's pretty hard.
Well, you know, somebody's got to do this, and they got to do it for big bucks. So we said we'll sign on the dotted line.
Yes.
We will get it done. Stadium Series game coming up on Sunday. That should be a lot of fun out in Minnesota. But it's supposed to be pretty nice out. It's not supposed to be Minnesota-like temperatures.
No, it's actually doable. It's not going to be like the blizzard at the Stadium Series at Soldier Field, which is awesome.
Yeah.
That's unforgettable. That was a great game.
I wish I could have been there. I was not in the state at the time.
Oh, wow. You were with Anaheim.
I was in a much warmer climate at the time.
But you saw a Stadium Series game.
I did, and that was a lot of fun. Dodgers
Stadium. It's a cool thing the NHL does, and they're going to be at TCF Bank Stadium at the University of Minnesota at 2:30 on Sunday, like Mike said, the alumni game on Saturday, and weather forecast: high of 45, low of 29, with some light rain in the morning. I don't know if maybe that affects how they lay the ice out, if it's going to rain in the morning, or maybe it doesn't even matter if they just cover it. I don't know. What goes into that preparation.
I'm not really sure, Skilling, but that was a hell of a forecast right there.
Man of Batavia. Rose.
Hey.
That's comedian Mike Toomey does a great Tom Skilling. I was just channeling that.
We never talk bad about Tom Skilling.
Oh, no, I'm not. And Mike Toomey is on the morning show with Skilling. He does the best impression of him ever.
He's a man, a myth, and a legend.
I try to watch him as much as I can.
He's the best. He's the best. They say they said the most dependable face in all of the Chicagoland area. Mike Jacobson had a poll, and everybody knows when you see Tom Skilling, that's the man you can trust, or you hear him.
People love Skilling, rightfully so.
What a great job.
Get him as a guest.
To be a weatherman?
We need forecasts before every game. Even though all games are indoors, people have to still drive and get out of their car. We need him on every show.
To be a weatherman, they're right 6 out of 10 times. And you could be a guy like Tom Skilling and just be so nice, and then everybody still loves you and respects you.
Did you ever see the Curb Your Enthusiasm where the weatherman's lying about the weather so he could be the only one on a golf course?
Yeah, exactly. And then it's like, if you're an accountant, you can't be 6 out of 10 times wrong. Like,
no,
right?
You won't have any clients.
No.
I bet you're above 500. I don't know.
I did miss that deduction. Oh, yeah, I didn't write that off either. Sorry. It doesn't work out. You can't be right 60% of the time in most jobs.
He's a treasure here in Chicago.
He really is. So that should be a lot of fun. And they might be coming out to the Wild with a little bit of extra fire since they fired their extra fire.
Yeah.
Fired. You see what I did there? With Mike Yo's gone. So
they're 25, 22, and 10.
And he was such a hot ticket commodity, hot coach. He was the hottest coach in the league at one point. And then he just lost that dressing room. Along the way.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm not there. I don't know what it was, but I know with their new coach who was promoted from the AHL affiliate in Iowa, I think the Iowa Wild, John Torchetti.
Former Blackhawks assistant.
That's right.
That's a great hockey name, too.
Yeah, he's an excitable guy. Maybe he's breathing a little life into him. They snapped an 8-game losing streak on Monday, and now they're on a 2-game winning streak after beating Calgary last night. So they're looking for something to prove. They got a coach fired, and that's never a good feeling in a locker room.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
No, maybe some guys.
Yeah, maybe if you don't like the coach, but I think they liked Yayo, and you know he did good things with that organization. So, I guess the one thing, you know, they had been having a lot of trouble generating offense. I was trying to look up some of their top scorers, and apparently they don't have any. None of their guys are anywhere near the top of any scoring chart. I think Ryan Suter is 25th in the league, tied with Duncan Keith for assists. Otherwise, I mean, they don't even have any offensive guys, no forwards. Anywhere near the top of the charts. So, you know, maybe the Hawks will play a sound defensive game and light them up. Or, you know, like we said, the Wild do have a lot to prove. And they were shut out last year in the playoffs by the Hawks, and the Hawks had beat them the last three postseasons. So they will look to this as a statement game.
Alumni game on Saturday. We talked about it a few podcasts ago.
Yeah, I think you read the lineups.
Who is there any guys you really are looking forward to seeing? I kind of want to see Chelios because I still think that guy could play. Because he's in that good of shape. I want to see Troy Murray because I personally know him because he's on a radio broadcast. Plus,
Troy's awesome.
I consider him a Blackhawks legend.
And, oh, yeah, man.
I mean, no question.
Look at his stats. Troy's a great player.
Roenick's going to be out there, and I want to see the reaction that Dino Cicerelli gets from the Blackhawks fans that make it up north.
I am most excited about Pat Foley being an assistant coach.
That'll be good.
I'm very excited to see what he does. And not the alumni game, but before the Stadium Series game, I am excited to listen to Cheap Trick and Soul Asylum perform.
That's who's playing?
Yeah, not bad, right?
I think, is Cheap Trick from like Hoffman Estates or something? I
think they're from a suburb. Yeah, they're kind of a name you hear with Midwest stuff. I think they might be from here.
I think they might, and I'm
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees.
I'm too lazy to Google, plus my computer always freezes here in this studio. So I think they're from Hoffman Estates, but don't, if you're listening, do not quote me on that.
No,
but
if you know where Cheap Trick is from, email us. We'll send you a Furby. Back to you, Mike.
Furby. I haven't seen one of those. They don't even make those anymore, do they?
I hope they do.
What a dumb toy.
I'll get you one.
What a dumb toy. Just like
I'll get you one for the 21st episode.
Dumber toy. Those are Beanie Babies.
Beanie Babies were all the craze. The McDonald's Happy Meals. People still sell them on eBay.
Tickling Elmo, too, was pretty big back in the day.
Are these everything that you had?
No.
As a boy?
Oh, I'm too. Come on, man. I'm way too old for that. I'm Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters.
I'm right there, friend. Some X-Men action figures in there. All right, to each his own.
Ninja Turtles. Were you a fan?
One of my top.
Who were you?
I think everyone was Michelangelo. Or when you wanted to kind of live on the edge, you were Raphael. You wanted to say some dirty words that you shouldn't say.
I was Raphael, but yeah, by default, damn it, because my brother, whose name's Bob, my cousin Tony, my cousin Phil, we hung out frequently. We're all the same age. And my brother, whose name's Bob, demanded he be Michelangelo. I said no. And all my family calls me Michael, so I said no. So we battled it out pretty big, but then I ended up settling for Raphael because he was much bigger than me at the time.
Yeah, and then you always make the nerdy kid Donatello because he's good with machines.
That was
you make
cousin.
The kid who's kind of soft, maybe likes poetry, he's Leonardo.
But Leonardo had the sword, man. It's like
he had a sword, he had a very deadly weapon, but he's a real Renaissance
so
man.
So Donatello had the purple and he had a stick. Like that sucked. Like
you see Walking Dead, you could do damage with a stick.
True. True, but they're also zombies.
Morgan does a lot of damage.
That's true. And then we didn't have a Splinter or an April, but it would have been nice.
Who
to
does?
Well,
some guys never get an April, and they're always playing Ninja Turtles.
That's very true. That's very true. Well played there, sir. Well played. King's Keys. These are the keys for you, or that
sir.
You give each and every week for the Blackhawks to pick up a couple of points in the next couple of weeks / games. And what do you got this week?
Key number one, keep up the power play success by cycling the puck, but not too much, and finding the open guy. Keep shooting. Keep putting pucks on net. Get some rebounds. Get some greasy goals. They've gotten a lot of momentum the last two games that way. You don't want to see it killed. You want to keep doing what they're doing on the power play. So, you know, pass, find the open guy, get some shots on net. Key number two, don't take dumb penalties. Sorry to single out Vinny Hinostroza. As you mentioned, four-minute high sticking because he drew some blood. Keep your stick down. No dumb penalties like that. They're on a roll. You got a couple guys generating a lot of offense, a couple lines, so you don't want to take a bad penalty.
There you go, King's Keys for this week on episode 17 of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Mike Jacobson and Scott King wrapping some things up here. We'll wrap it up with fan questions. And the ever-so-loyal Paul Berry writes us. Paul is the best, and he got himself a Taves bobblehead. And
being
I hope
such
he,
a loyal
And I hope
loyal
he enjoyed
follower.
It. I sent that off a few weeks ago, and I'm glad that he got it. Makes my heart warm. Lots of rumors at the trade deadline. What would you like to see? Or who would you like to see join the team?
Yeah, there's a couple possibilities out there.
Andrew Ladd's the one that everybody wants.
Everyone
I think
wants
that's going to take some work, though.
It will take. It's going to be
a lot of cap.
Here's the deal with that. It's going to be they have $3.9 million. He's going to be around that, maybe even a little more. But also, he's not quite the player that he used to be. He's only got 30 points now with the Jets, and he's a minus 10. Maybe who. And look, that'd be great. He's a great guy to talk to as far as reporters are concerned. Sure, he'll still play. He knows play well with those guys. He knows the system. And Hawks fans would love it. And maybe he would work out well. But then you have a guy like Mikael Boedeker with the Coyotes. He's a natural left wing, a top six guy. He has 37 points in Arizona. I think he might be – I don't know if he'd be cheaper, but he's got more better years ahead of him. I'll say that. So – I think those two guys are your likeliest. I think Ladd could wind up back here.
It'd be cool.
They have the cap space almost already. You throw in some prospects, and otherwise maybe you see Mikael Boedeker come here. But there's other possibilities. I think Louis Erickson, I think Boston's making a deal to keep him. He's at 45 points. I think Eric Staal would be pretty expensive, a center who can play wing. So, you know, they're definitely going to try to get a top six guy. You kind of see that with how they sent Scuderi down.
There you go. And by the way, Ladd's partner, Mr. Bufflin, yeah, he really got paid.
He got some good money.
He got some
was that,
really
get, like,
good
7 million
money.
A year?
I think about over yeah. 7 more, like yeah. 7.6 a year.
Good for him.
Hey, big man.
Yeah.
Big man with a big paycheck.
Goes the net. He's humorous.
There you go. Flat, and then we'll do one more here. This one from
sure.
Derek Ciavellis. What would be the best Hawks first-round opponent?
Yeah, I'm interested in
already,
your thoughts.
Already looking ahead.
Yeah, interested in your thoughts on this, Mikey. I think, well, here's who it could be. It could be, you know, it depends on, obviously, where the Hawks finish, if they're in first place, and it depends on kind of who the wild card team is and everything and where Dallas and St. Louis finish.
Yeah, this will be the second year of this new playoff format.
Right, which I liked a lot last year. So it could be Dallas, it could be St. Louis, it could be Colorado, it could be Nashville, it could be Minnesota, I believe. It could be any of those teams. Some are more likely than others. But I think Nashville, again, they played them.
That's what I was going to say.
Great. Yeah, I think so. It's, you know, who they played last year, had a great close series with, but they're not the same team.
Yeah,
Pecorine has had a terrible year. He does not look confident in that. He's been very easy to score on, and I don't think Nashville's generating the same kind of offense they have. I haven't looked at their numbers. Maybe they're not as strong on faceoffs, but they're definitely not the team that gave the Hawks a very competitive seven-game series last year. So that's my thoughts, and Michael agrees with me.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I think Nashville is that's your best bet. You can get all the Hawks fans in there and try to tick them off again at the Bridgestone Arena.
Oh, how great would that be?
That would be pretty fun. That would be pretty fun. So that puts a bow on it. This was a fun episode, episode 17, Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Again, follow us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe on iTunes. Facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. My man Scott King writes a Blackhawks Crazy blog on WGNRadio.com that we often tweet out and put on the Facebook page. You can follow him at Scott King Media on Twitter. On Twitter, you can follow me at Jacobson Radio. Use the hashtag Blackhawks Crazy. Submit questions, comments, insults, whatever you want. we take it all.
They have to be funny. That's the rule. It has to be funny if you're going to insult us.
Should be a lot of fun. Stadium Series this week in Minnesota. We'll talk to you next week.